Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Make sure you check that out. We'll have Nick Suss from the Tennessean coming up at 7:30. Get his thoughts on the Titans as we prepare for the NFL draft. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit as well. And taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So we've discussed what Jeremy Fowler had to say about Ryan Tannehill over the weekend and that he could be available. Teams believe that he could be available via trade. He said that on SportsCenter yesterday. It was funny. Also later on the SportsCenter hit, he talked about, quote, most people I've talked to around the league would be surprised if Malik Willis was the starter next year. And I was like,
Wow. Bombshell.
Really? Wow. It's funny that comes up because I'm reading Peter King's Football Morning in America right now. And, you know, he's talking about the C.J. Stroud thing. It says Coach Mike Vrabel is tight with Ohio State Coach Ryan Day. And before that, it was talking about, and the Titans, who I hear have lost faith in Malik Willis, may be in a unique position here. And then goes into the C.J. Stroud stuff. So some reporting out there that maybe the Titans aren't excited about Malik Willis being a starting quarterback this year.
Hey.
Joe, your thoughts?
Well, this is why if you're following the team, follow the local media. Sometimes things get a little to the national media a little bit late. When you say the Stroud stuff from King, is he talking about how Stroud intentionally bombed the S2 so he could be a Titan?
Talking about that.
He didn't get into that at all?
Okay. It's, the Vrabel's tight with Day, and the Vrabel will get, quote, the real about Stroud from Day, and I think that'll be mostly positive.
Vrabel's tight with Day until he replaces Day. Maybe he'll offer to keep him on as OC.
Maybe so. So, Joe, one thing that we've not really talked about in this draft process and in the offseason part of this is what does Amy Adams Strunk think about all this? Because, when we start talking about her, I go back to the John Robinson firing and what she talked about when he was fired, which was that the results have not been good enough and they want to get to a place where they're competing for a championship. And we talked about in the immediate aftermath of that, all right, well, what does that mean? Does that mean right now, like right this second? Does that mean resetting over the offseason and trying to find a quarterback that way? What exactly does that all mean? And we know that Carthon has come in, and now Vrabel's got, you know, more responsibility, more say-so, we would think, heading into all this process. So what does Amy Adams Strunk believe that the direction of this team should be? There's the new stadium part of this that's coming a few years down the road, all that. How much do you think that factors into what they're doing here and the direction that they're going, which as we talked about last week and you brought it up, I mean, some of the direction could be determined by what exactly the draft board says and who's available coming up on Thursday.
Yeah. Look, I hope for Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, I hope for their sake that what she wants is that you are the people I pay a ton of money to make decisions and I trust you. I mean, that's how a good owner would be approaching this situation. We all know that that's not always how all sports teams owners approach situations. I know maybe it was PK who first floated this. I'm not sure, but it's kind of an obvious thought, which is, you know, if you're the Titans, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, I'm sure that you would like the Titans to be really good when you open your new stadium, which, again, and I know PK does get credit for reporting now, that's 27,
correct,
right? Now instead of 26. And by the way, I think that gets officially done tomorrow as far as Metro Council. But
yep.
Yeah, that's so far down the road, right? I mean, so many things can happen. The Titans could cycle up and down between and then. So I don't really think in terms, I mean, obviously at some point between now and then, you sure hope that the Titans are cycling into another attempt at a franchise quarterback. That doesn't mean it has to be this year. So, and it's a great question. I think if you like, if I'm Amy Adams drunk, well, I'm rich, so I'm happy. But you know, I'm trusting my people, and I'm kind of because. But we know, like in the past, you know, Bud Adams. I know that, like especially with Vince Young and all that stuff, right? There's a lot of reporting around. He wanted this guy. He wanted him.
Oh yeah,
all that stuff. And look, if it comes down to like a choice of quarterback, I don't think there's anything wrong with like if Amy Adams Strunk is like, guys, I love Bryce Young, but I hate Will Levis. So take that for what it were. We are not taking Will Levis. You better go get Bryce Young. I'd say, hey, Amy Adams Strunk is smart. Good job, Amy Adams Strunk. But
poor Will Levis.
I know.
I can't wait. He's totally going to be. He's Titan.
He's totally going to be a Titan. It's going to be amazing. But yeah, I'd love to know what she thinks, wants the direction to be. I'm sure, as with any owner, you don't want any kind of prolonged down period. You're very upset about seven straight losses.
Yep.
You fired a GM in the middle of the season, and you want this to be a short stay on the losing side of things, but you also have to be realistic. Sometimes you got to have a little more pain to be able to go back the other way.
Well, the easy answer, I know what A.B. Adams Struck wants. She wants to compete for a championship. Now, the question is, how do you get there, right? I mean, is it a better path to get there by saying, Tannehill's the quarterback, Henry's the running back, let's try to maximize this draft and try to get there that way? Or is it better to get there by saying, you know what, we like Ryan Tannehill, we've had success with Ryan Tannehill, but if you're ever going to win the Super Bowl, it's got to be somebody else, and you got to go find somebody else in the draft, and now's the time to do it. I mean, that's really what the question is, and that's what it boils down to here if you're the Titans. You know, Ron brings up an interesting point on the text line, says if the Titans don't make a move at quarterback this year, they might as well do another 2 or 3 year contract with Tannehill, because I believe the Titans will do better this year, which will push their draft position back further, which means we'll have to give up a lot more to move up for a quarterback that might not be there, and then we're stuck with Tannehill and rebuilding. This from Ron on the text line.
Yeah. And look, that's the thing, too. We talked earlier about, I'm sure there's a lot more Titans fans who are like, okay, Tannehill, yeah, we move on. Okay, fine. But a lot more like, Derrick Henry, no!
Right.
He's still, you know, he can't move on from Derrick Henry. But the reality is, in the next 2-3 years, if you had to choose, like all things being equal, and you had to choose one of them who you think would be performing at a high level and would help you, I mean, it's Tannehill. I mean, quarterbacks have a lot longer shelf life. And as incredible as Derrick Henry's career has been and his preparation and everything, I don't think there's more than probably a couple more really good years with him.
Although he's posting workout videos.
Yeah, I saw him. I saw him. I know, that's the thing. It's like, say all this stuff, and then Derrick Henry will still be getting 1,200 yards in 2030. But realistically, you know,
man knows how to work out.
He does. But it's a great point, Ryan. And we've talked about that a ton. It's like, I think they're gonna if they take the approach, or if the approach is kind of guided for them, like, okay, you got to draft around your core and do the best you can. I don't think they're going to be bad next year. I think they could be pretty good next year. And so then, when and how do you get your quarterback?
Exactly.
Your next quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. Like, to me, if you're determining that your best path to get to a championship and win a championship is to make a change at quarterback and take your shot at finding that franchise guy, I would probably agree with that approach. Is this the right time to do it? That's the other thing. Like, you can believe, if you're Amy Adams Strunk or if you're Mike Vrabel or if you're Rand Carthon, that in order to win the Super Bowl, you're going to have to find an upgrade at quarterback over Tannehill and to do that in the draft, which is fine. But it has to be the right player and the right draft. Like, do you believe that any of those guys are in this draft? Because if you don't, like, you can't just take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback and hoping that they're going to end up working out better than Tannehill did. Like, you've got to be convinced, and we've talked about that, like, especially if you're moving up, you got to be convinced that it's the guy. Well, I would say even if you're not moving up, and even if you're, like, before you make the decision to move up and go get your quarterback, you got to ask yourself, are any of these guys who we want them to be? Like, are any of these guys the guy that's going to take us to the Super Bowl? Because you need one right now doesn't mean it's the right move to go get one right now.
If you ever are like, okay, yeah, let's try it, then yeah, you're toast. Unless you get really lucky.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that's happened too, but I don't know where Caleb and Galdon got this from, but there's a proposal here of Cardinals get this year's first rounder, next year's first rounder, 2025 second rounder, this year's third rounder, and Danico Autry for number three and DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you get your quarterback and you get a receiver.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That is, my gosh, Monty Austin for it.
A lot of picks.
Good for you, Monty,
yeah.
If you can pull that one off.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the draft coming up next, and we'll also get to some very intriguing comments that Tom Brady has made over the past week as well regarding to his playing future. We'll get into all that coming up next. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders as they broadcast live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, on Thursday, April 27th. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you have the chance to win awesome prizes as well. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Got a texter on the text line, says, Henry and Byard are the same, easily replaceable. Name another team building around a safety and a running back. You can't. We could let both go now via trade or release and be better than last year. And Joe, you responded and said, I don't know if the Titans are building around Byard. He's just a better player and a good leader. This text response says, it's way harder to replace Tannehill, and I hope we're not about to find out. This is from a texter on the text line. I would agree. I don't think the Titans have built around Kevin Byard.
No, now, he's a great player.
They have built around Derrick Henry. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yes. Yes. And, I mean, easily replaceable, well, look, They're at their top performance, at how they're performing even as of last year, I disagree. Well, it's easily replaceable. I mean, when Kevin Byard's gone, you know, look, every team has safeties. There's a lot of good safeties in the league. He's been one of the better safeties in the NFL. I guess with, you know, he had a rough 2020 season for a defense that couldn't get within 5 yards of a quarterback all year. But he's been awfully good. Like, you're going to lose some playmaking and you're going to lose a lot when he's gone. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's coming. It's coming for him, and I do think it's coming for Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And who knows? Maybe Derrick Henry is on the trading block too. Maybe Kevin Byard is. Byard, Henry, Tannehill, are all of them absolutely going to be on the team next year?
I don't think it's a certainty. If I had to put a percentage on it, it's the most likely percentage right now for sure. But I don't think it's a certainty. LD from McMinnville says, I've heard Nashville radio personality and weekly guest Jared be critical of Levis and his being overly muscular for a quarterback while not mentioning Anthony Richardson. It seems to me that Anthony Richardson is more muscular than Levis, and why would that matter? This is from LD from McMinnville on the text line.
Now, this is one of those, LD, where I got to hear it. Sometimes I've seen this game of telephone with Jared or somebody else, and then I listen to what they actually said, and it's like, oh, no, that's not what he said. If he said that, that's pretty goofy. Have you heard that? I mean, I know that you got rabbit ears on all Will Levis criticism, Michelle.
No, I haven't heard that one.
Too muscular.
I remember people talking about that with Tebow. Like, he's too muscular.
I did hear Mina Kimes and them talking about it.
Yeah.
Will Levis,
it's a thing.
Yeah, he posted a like mirror selfie on Instagram of his transformation, and it was like, damn, is he a little too jacked?
Into himself?
Oh, well,
too jacked. Okay.
Maybe that too.
Interesting. That's weird. Since Tebow, to me, it was always about the long, it took him like 8 seconds to throw the ball, right?
Yeah.
It was the long windup. That was supposed to be because the muscles were too big?
I'm just saying. That was a conversation around Tebow.
He should have gotten more muscles and been a tight end from the start, but he wasn't listening to me.
Joe, did you see the Tom Brady situation over the weekend?
No, go ahead.
All right. So Brady was speaking at some conference. This was apparently on Thursday in Miami at the Emerge Americas conference at the Miami Beach Convention Center. And Brady was up there on stage, and somebody, I guess it was a Q&A, and Pro Football Talk has put this together. And the question to Brady was, is there any chance you're coming out of retirement and playing for the Fins? Talking about the Dolphins, obviously.
Okay.
And Brady's response was, I will say now that I'm not affiliated with any team anymore, even though I have strong ties with a couple of teams. I do have some friends on the Dolphins that I really like. So I wouldn't say I necessarily root for them all the time, but I root for my friends to do well, and several of them play for Miami. That was the quote from Tom Brady. And people are taking that and run with it and saying, why did he just say he was retired? Why did he not just say that, no, nah, man, I'm done. I'm retired. He says, I will say now that I'm not affiliated with any team anymore, is what Brady said.
Okay, well, that sounds to me like someone who just wants to leave the door cracked, and he likes to mess with people. Like that, right? Like, are people taking that as like, oh, actually something's going on and he just doesn't want to say it?
No, I don't think that there's necessarily that, but it's like even leaving the door cracked, right, is like, okay, like is this guy retired or is he not?
He's going to leave the door cracked at age 87 and hope there's another 30 for 30 done on him.
He's in a walker like, I'm still getting out there.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, but hey, glad he got a chance to make our show again.
I mean, Mike Florio said in this thing, the options in the response were simple: A, yes; B, no; C, I don't know; or D, a filibustering non-answer. Brady went with option D. That's what Florio said.
But don't people choose D a lot in a lot of situations? They choose the filibustering non-answer. You know,
they do.
Just blah, blah. They're a little bit maybe taken aback by the directness of the question, and they blah, 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 blah around it.
They do. Now, he did say in his retirement video a few months ago, I think he opened it with, hey, guys, I'm retiring for real this time, was what he said.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're asked, hey, any chance you could play for the Dolphins? No, I'm retired, man. And he did not say that.
Yeah. Well, look, he seemed pretty convinced he was retired last year.
He did.
At first, right? So you give him a little bit of time. Like, I think that he certainly will not be on a football field this fall. But I could see him just being like, you know what, I'm just going to stay in shape, lay off the avocado tequila, and then just have the itch to come back in 2024. I could see it.
A lot of people have been saying, like, if you're Tua Tagovailoa in this situation, like, do you, like, call Brady and be like, hey, man, shut up. Like, stop talking about the Dolphins. It's my job.
Yeah. I mean, does Brady have a landline? Like, hey, Grandpa. And he's not even going to Snapchat him, you know?
Grandpa Brady. Keep my name out of your mouth.
Oh, God. That's great. Ugh. I'd love for Tua to be mad about this and say something. Let's get a public feud going between those two.
Your reaction if Tom Brady eventually comes back out of retirement again? What will it be?
Just roll eyes emoji. Maybe he'll come back for the Lions, you know?
That'd be something.
Yeah.
They're already divisional favorites. Just imagine what it would be like if they had Brady.
Yeah. Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah.
I meant to take a picture this weekend in Florida. You know, my Uncle Bill came, you know, watch the 7-on-7, and in his car he has a Detroit Lions license plate. I meant to take a picture and send it to you guys. I'm like, this is the illness that people deal with.
I got a text that says, give Tannehill a line, time, and a competent offensive coordinator and watch him cook defenses. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. That's one thing we've not talked a ton about in terms of like the Tannehill situation is Tim Kelly coming in. What would that mean for Tannehill?
Tannehill's good. You can do a lot worse than Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. Yeah, that's the reality of this situation is you have to try, I think. Like you have to try to find the next quarterback. You have to try to find the quarterback and have 5-year, you know, you have to have the rookie clock and how that helps you with the cap. And just, you know, you need to try to find a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. But the likelihood that whoever you get next is going to be better, and in particular better than him in 19 and 20, is so low. Yep. I mean, it's so low. Remember, late in the 2020 season, we're like, is this the best quarterback in the Tennessee Titans have had? And I know now it doesn't – I don't think anybody's arguing like Tannehill's a better quarterback in the history of the Titans than Steve McNair. But for that two seasons, he was incredible. Why? Has he fallen off? I don't think so. I mean, the playoff performance is what it was, and that, to me, does change how you look at him. But what's fallen off is everything around him, dramatically.
All I know is that when this week is over and the draft goes by one way or the other, I am going to miss Mel Kiper getting on TV with that hair of his. Far be it from me to talk about anybody's hair, but I love me some Mel Kiper hair. It's awesome.
Do you think does he have plugs? Is that?
I don't know.
I know people are ripping on like Jalen Rose's hair right now. They're saying it's fake.
Yeah. Kiper.
Is it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's just perfectly.
Yeah, it's like it's right. It does look like claymation. Like it looks. I mean, like people say I have Lego hair. It actually looks like Lego hair.
There's
and
a
Kiper's is kind of
Kiper's is a distinct look.
It's a beautiful coif.
It is.
Jalen Rose gets a haircut like every day. I mean, he has to if it's that perfect. If it is real.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe we're on.
You never know
here.
Where this show will go.
You don't. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Nick Suss from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they prepare for the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. That is next. Make sure you don't miss Nashville's best coverage of the NFL draft on 1025-1063 The Game. You can join Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders on location as we broadcast live for day two of the draft this Friday. We'll be out at the Inglewood Wing Stop located at 3300 Gallatin Pike, where flavor gets its wings. The first 100 people to stop by during the draft will receive a coupon for 5 free boneless wings for their next visit. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. It is finally NFL Draft Week here in Nashville. And to help us talk about that and the Titans, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nick Suss, who covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Nick, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, y'all. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being on with us, Nick. So, obviously, as you're well aware, lots of discussion about quarterback and that position for the Titans heading into this draft. What do you make of that discussion? And as we sit here today, the Monday before the draft, how likely do you think it is that quarterback is the way they go in the first round?
I mean, I get it. I understand why everybody's talking about quarterback, and I understand the speculation that the dynamics of the modern NFL kind of force desperation on every team that doesn't have a Joe Burrow, doesn't have a Patrick Mahomes, and for as good as Ryan Tannehill's been, I get it. The Titans haven't had that next tier level of quarterback play consistently ever. So, yeah, I mean, the speculation makes sense. I don't know if the speculation makes sense given the Titans roster, given what the Titans would have to give up to get the kind of quarterback who's expected to be transformative. I'm not going to put the odds high. I'm not going to sit here and say 50-60%. I mean, it's possible if things fall the right way, if the rumors about CJ Stroud falling end up happening, then yeah, you can move up and get him. I don't necessarily know if it would be worth the gamble to move up as high as 3 for Levis or Richardson, but I understand the hype with both of them. I mean, you can do what you need to do. You just have to understand if you're giving up 3 drafts for one player, you got to be right. And I don't think anybody knows with certainty that any of these guys are the right guy. And that's even counting Bryce Young. I mean, it's tough to say.
Well, he's definitely the right guy. I mean, that's I know with certainty, but you know,
yeah, Joe's convinced.
I'm putting my name on it. But you, Nick, seem to be a Will Levis hater, and we embrace Will Levis hating on this program before he inevitably becomes a Tennessee Titan. Then your latest mock draft, you think he may actually fall to them at 11?
Yeah, and I wouldn't call it a hater. Did you see the article that went along with it where I wrote Will Levis a defense of him?
Yes, you did. No, I know. But still, if he falls to 11, woo.
If he falls to 11, yeah, I mean, it's a fine pick. I mean, I don't think that we as, you know, human beings with rational brains spend enough time acknowledging the NFL draft's a crapshoot. Like, even the guys that we are the most certain are going to be stars. Who was the guy last year? Was it Kyle Hamilton? The guy that everyone was convinced, oh, he's going to be the best player from this draft. He's the surefire, can't miss. He was fine. Like, he was an okay player this year. Chance Wormack, when the Titans picked him about a decade ago, he was the most surefire, can't miss player in the draft.
He missed. No, he was going to be great.
With these guys that we're so certain on, we don't know what's going to happen. And with Will Levis, look at the feathers in his cap. I mean, dude's a great play-action quarterback, and at worst-case scenario, if you put him in a play-action-heavy offense, dude can do what Kirk Cousins does in Minnesota and get you to the playoffs. You go up and down what he does well. He's very reminiscent of Matthew Stafford coming out of college, both as a guy who threw a lot of interceptions, guy with a big arm, guy who can move, guy who played in a pro-style offense. A lot of the signifiers are there. He didn't do it nearly enough at Kentucky. I was covering the SEC when he was playing. I mean, he was struggling. He wasn't that good. But, yeah, I could see it happening. And if he falls to the Titans at 11 and they decide, oh, you can get this guy without having to give up two first-round picks for it, sure, try it. Doesn't mean it's going to work, but doesn't mean it's immediately going to sink the franchise either.
Nick, as far as the wide receiver group is concerned here, I mean, you look at the Titans roster, and look, I mean, let's be honest, it really wouldn't be that hard statistically to upgrade over what they did wide receiver-wise last year, but I still look at it right now, and you've got Treylon Burks, and you got Kyle Phillips, and you brought in Chris Moore, and obviously NWI's there. It's not a great room right now. What do you think are the chances, let's say they come away with a couple of guys in the draft, and you're talking about potentially two rookies and Treylon Burks playing pretty big roles for you next year. Like, is there any chance in your mind that is an acceptable fix if Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback next year at wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, it could work out. It just depends on what you're trying to fix, right? Like, if you want it to be a pair of 1,000-yard receivers like the Eagles had last year, I don't think you're going to have an acceptable fix there unless you pick somebody like Smith and Jigba at 11 and he turns out to be every bit the player that the people highest on him think he is, and Treylon Burks also becomes that guy. But I don't know. I look at the receiver situation, I look at where this team's at and think they just need to get competitive, right? They don't need to have a top five receiver room. If the offense is still going to be built around Derrick Henry, if the offense is still going to be built around this identity that they've thrived with, when the Titans offense was at its best, it was AJ Brown and Corey Davis taking pressure off the run game. So if you can do that, if you can have two guys who keep the defense honest, yeah, you combine with maybe Chigo Conquo takes a step forward, you draft tight end too, baby. You can get to a point where the receiving core is good enough to take pressure off the running game. Yeah, I think that could be a fix. I think that can be fixed with the draft. If you're looking to be the offense that the Dolphins had last year, no. I mean, I don't think you can fix that in one offseason with one draft, but you can try.
Right, and obviously, you know, this team, the path to competitiveness and to winning the AFC South next year is having a great defense. So let's say, Nick, that the Titans basically, you know, they don't do the quarterback, but they spend most of the draft addressing, you know, more depth in the offensive line. They still need, I think, another starter on the offensive line, receiver, like you said, tight end. They basically spend most of the draft on offense. Do you feel like this defense, let's say as constructed, and maybe you throw in like a, you know, a middle round corner or something, is good enough for that?
With the big health asterisk being there, maybe. If the corners can stay healthy, I think that's really the big thing that we've glossed over this entire offseason. We're sitting around saying, oh, the Titans need offense. The Titans' offensive line is the issue. The Titans' receivers are the issue. And certainly those are. This team ranked 32nd in pass defense last year. And we all acknowledge that injuries played a gigantic part in that. And we all acknowledge that going out and getting Sean Murphy Bunting is going to help. And getting a full year of Fulton, a full year of Molden, getting McCreary into year two, getting the pass rush healthy, getting full year Autry, a full year of Simmons at his most explosive. If everything works out, plus Harold Landry, who wasn't out there last year, yeah, I think the pass defense last year should have been a blip. but we've seen 2 years in a row now, the injuries aren't necessarily a blip. There's something going on there. So if they can stay healthy, yeah, I certainly think this defense can be back into the top 10, back into helping them get near the top of the AFC South. But there's just that reasonable doubt with the secondary, especially, where nobody could stay on the field. And if that's still the case, then you're going to have to have a lot of depth.
Nick Suss from the Tennessean with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Nick, what do you make of the job that the Titans and Rand Carthon have done to this point of revamping the offensive line, and how much work is still left to do in your mind?
I think there's probably a lot of work to do, right? I mean, it's tricky because you're betting on potential, you're betting on versatility, you're betting on multiplicity, and that's better than last year. I think that, well, they still need a fifth starter, so I can't say they're certainly better than last year. I like the direction they're heading a little bit more than last year, but you're betting on Andre Dillard being a guy he hasn't been yet in the pros. You're betting on Daniel Brunskill being an upgrade over, frankly, what he's been the last couple of years, where he's been a serviceable starter. He hasn't necessarily been a superstar by any stretch of the imagination, and you're betting on Aaron Brewer to take a step forward, probably in a new position. You're betting on Nicholas Petit-Frere to be better year one to year two. I mean, I think the direction makes sense. If you go out and use the 11th pick on somebody like Paris Johnson or Peter Skoronski, and you got a new cornerstone piece and you have to move people around position-wise, I like it, but you're going to have a lot of pieces trying new things. If you, err more on the side of use a second or third rounder on an interior offensive lineman and keep people in their roles, that's a little bit easier, but you're starting a second or third rounder for the second year in a row. I don't know. I think the direction makes sense. I like what they've done, but it's hard to say it's going to work because there's a lot of unproven commodities that are going to have to make things work.
As you've looked at this, and I think we're all thankful the draft is finally almost here, Nick, but is there a player out there, a prospect, maybe a little bit later in the draft, who you, at whatever position, who you really like for this team?
Gosh, a name that I keep coming back to, Ivan Pace, the linebacker from Cincinnati, makes a ton of sense if they want to use a day three pick on a linebacker. Starling Thomas, the DB from UAB, I think fits what this team does really well as a potential nickel or dime corner with size who can go out and get the ball pretty well. I've always liked Trey Tucker, to go back to Cincinnati, a receiver who can do stuff on special teams and kind of help out if the Kyle Phillips role needs some backing. There's a lot of guys that make sense in the late rounds. Just unfortunately, the one thing this team seems to like the most, the big-bodied receivers, that's the one thing that I can't really point to anybody that makes the utmost sense for value. There are guys everywhere. If you want me to sit here and make an impassioned argument for backup quarterback Stetson Bennett, I can.
there we go.
But, yeah, at a certain point, you just got to trust that the coaches are going to be able to develop these guys because, I don't know, a sixth-round pick's a sixth-round pick. You got to hit for it to be good.
Nick, last thing for you here. Obviously, you are familiar with Ole Miss and their program. What do you make of Jonathan Mingo and how he's going to translate to the NFL at wide receiver?
It's going to be a transition because I remember his freshman year, it was a transition. The guy had some trouble adjusting to the level of college competition, and then he also had some drop issues in practice, and I don't know if they ever manifested as much in games, but he steadily got better. I think if you want to salivate over Jonathan Mingo, if you want to be somebody who thinks he can be a star, pop on his 2021 Tulane tape. He was phenomenal in that game. That was the best I ever saw him play. He's not A.J. Brown. I know people want to make the A.J. Brown comparison. He's going to have to do a lot of work to get to be A.J. Brown because he wasn't A.J. Brown in college, and he's not A.J. Brown as a prospect quite yet, but he has those similar traits. He has those similar skills. Very soft-spoken guy, very quiet guy. He's not going to come into your locker room and be the rah-rah, scream and yell kind of person, but if he's playing at his best, he's a guy who's going to go over the middle, play physical, stretch the field, and kind of give an extra dimension to an NFL offense. He's just got to put it together for a full season, something he never really did in college.
Well, Nick, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck with the draft coverage coming up. We finally made it this Thursday. We're almost there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we'll talk soon, man.
Absolutely. Nick Suss from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rexro. We will get to that coming up next. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow night at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Omaha Storm Chasers, the AAA affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45, either the Rob Rant, the Red Rant, or the Rex Rant every morning at 7:45 here on the program. And y'all kind of teased this a little bit earlier. We were talking about the playoffs to begin the show, and it was a great weekend of the playoffs in the NBA and in the NHL. Lots of really fun series going on in both sports. There has not been one series yet that I have enjoyed quite the way that I enjoyed Toronto and Tampa Bay. And obviously game one, the meltdown that ensued in Toronto after Tampa Bay came in there and hammered them. Toronto responded very well in game two. And then I thought the game Saturday between Toronto and Tampa Bay was awesome. It was great hockey, high-level hockey, physicality in that game. Tanner Jeannot looked like he wanted to kill half the Toronto Maple Leafs roster out there. He had one shift where he had four hits in a row on one shift, just sequentially, back-to-back-to-back-to-back. And it was awesome. Like, it was great playoff hockey. And, you know, I picked Toronto to win the series before the thing started. So they win the game 4-3 in overtime. On Saturday, they're up 2-1. It's not quite as fun as when they lose because of the meltdown that ensues in Toronto, but it's fun that this is, I think, going to be probably a 7-game series coming up between the Leafs and the Lightning. But there was one play that happened in this game that I'm still just mystified that we continue to have this issue in the NHL. And Predators fans are going to be very familiar with this. You know, the intent to blow the whistle with Colton Sissons in Game 6, which, by the way, P.K. Subban was talking about this over the weekend. He did a great job as an analyst on ESPN with Mark Messier and Steve Levy. But he brought up after this play, like the Colton Sissons play in the Cup Final against Pittsburgh, which Predators fans who were watching will remember that for the rest of their lives. But Tampa's up in this game. I think the score was 3-2 at the time. And basically a puck goes on net. TJ Brody's trying to clear the puck out of the zone for Toronto. And a puck goes on net back towards Ilya Samsonov, who's the goalie for Toronto. And the puck is loose in his pads, and Braden Point of the Lightning crashes the net. He pokes the puck in the net. He scores the goal. Place goes crazy. They're up 4-2, or so we think. The whistle was blown before the play actually counted, and Braden Point's goal was taken off the board. And they went back and looked at it, and they had to uphold the play because the whistle was blown or was going to be blown, which we know the intent to blow.
Hashtag intent to blow.
Intent to blow. Now, you go back and you look at the replay, and first off, the ref is totally out of position and is not where he's supposed to be. And secondly, the puck is never close to being covered by Ilya Samsonov. He's kind of up against the right post because he didn't expect the puck to come that way. He's leaning on his side. His pad's up in the air, and the puck is loose. I mean, it's clear as day in the crease. The puck is never covered by Ilya Samsonov. But the play is blown dead anyway, and the goal is taken off the board. That would have put them up 4-2. Toronto tied this game 3-3 with a minute left in regulation and then wins it in overtime. So you're talking about, had this goal gone in, the game's never getting to overtime, and Tampa wins, and they're up 2-1 in the series. They totally dominated the second period and probably should have won the game anyway. Here's what Tampa Bay head coach John Cooper had to say about the call after the game.
Trying to look like at one point that you might be up 4-2 and point jammed it in. What was your vantage point of what happened there, and how big was that?
Yeah, no, it was whatever. I have zero idea why he blew the whistle. It's shocking. It was sitting right, the entire building. There was 20,000 people, so I was sitting right there. And what I don't get is I don't know what the ref had to gain by blowing the whistle. And listen, that's not why we lost. You can look back now, but I don't get it. And I can sit here and you go through the league of quick whistles. That has to be the number one in the league. But I just didn't know what he was gaining by blowing it so fast. And it was clearly the way the puck was delivered to the net, it was bouncing all over the place. It was obviously unfortunate for us, but again, not why we lost. I mean, it was, that would have helped, but it's not why we lost.
So that helped. So John Cooper after the game. It's not why we lost. Yeah, probably would have helped a great deal, but it's not why we lost. It's ridiculous to me, Joe, that we continue to have to discuss this. And look, I get it. Hockey's a fast game, and the officials are not always going to be where they're supposed to be because the game's fast, and especially on a play like that, like there's a turnover, so things change really quickly. But don't we kind of need to put in like a common sense rule? Like when you go back and review it and you see that the puck is never anywhere close to being covered, can we not change that? Like it's ridiculous to me that we go back and we have replay, and the entire point of replay is to get the play right, and you go back and you look at it and it's clear as day that the puck is loose. Like it'd be one thing if he had it covered up for a second and then he jammed it through and that was it. I mean, you could make the argument to not let it count then. Samsonov,
which
never,
was a little bit more like the Preds play,
which is a little bit more like the Citizens play. Samsonov never had the puck, not close, never had the puck. Like, can we not have some common sense and go back and look at this and say, yep, that puck's loose the whole time in the crease. He never had it, and he poked it in the net. Like, I don't know why we can't do this.
If you're reviewing, that's, I think, what's infuriating about it. Okay, so you're reviewing. Okay. So if you're reviewing, why would that not be part of the review?
That's the thing. Like, I guess when they're doing that, they're going back to see, like, okay, when was the whistle? Like,
trying to hear when the
whistle was. Trying when the whistle was blown. Like, why don't we get the call right?
Yeah.
That'd be great. If you're going to go back and review something, hey, look, I don't know. Like, this could be the difference in the series, right?
I mean,
now Toronto's up 2-1. I mean, John Cooper could say it's not the reason they lost. And, look, there are 1,000 plays in a hockey game you could point to. You know, you have the best goalie in the world. You're up by a goal with a minute left. Don't let Ryan O'Reilly score. I get it, right? You got to protect your lead better. So we can get into that part of it all day. Fact of the matter is it should have been 4-2 at that point, and the game should have been over. Like, it's ridiculous. That, and in some cases, this is kind of getting swept under the rug. I'm glad that John Cooper actually said something about it after the game, because a lot of coaches were like, well, call didn't go our way. No, say something. Get out there and say something. And I just thought that was ridiculous on Saturday that goal didn't count.
And it's like, so on the review aspect of it, you know, sometimes like a whistle blows and people stop playing. And then it's like, okay, well, like, okay. Bad calls sometimes, like the whistle. Sometimes you just have a whistle. And
right.
It stops the play and it stinks, but like if everybody's still playing and you can watch the sequencing of events and it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, the puck was loose, whistle or intent or whatever. Everybody kept playing. He scored. It should be a goal.
It had no outcome on the play. Right. Like if, you know, it'd be one thing if they blew the whistle and Samsonov like stood up because the whistle was blown.
Exactly.
But like, it didn't. Like he was trying to make the save after, because he knew he didn't have the puck. And Braden Point put it in the net and then the whistle gets blown and takes. And that's the other thing. Like it was such a quick whistle for that situation.
Ridiculous.
It just makes no sense. And now here we are, instead of talking about what a great playoff game it was, which it was, we're talking about a blown call that, in my opinion, has cost the Lightning a game in this series, and it could end up costing them the series. And look, you know, I don't feel necessarily sorry for the Lightning. They've won 2 Stanley Cups and been to 3 Cup Finals in a row, so it's not like, you know, it's impossible for them to overcome something like this. But in my opinion, you just stole a game away from them in a series. And we could talk about, oh, the officials never decide the outcome of a game. You got 60 minutes to do that. Bullcrap. Like, that's a big enough call where that stole a game away from the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah. You know, where do all those calls originate? What city is that in?
Mm.
Boy, what would it mean for the NHL?
It's Toronto, isn't it?
Toronto to... To be
it's a spy. It's a spy.
Just saying. Not a great look from the NHL on Saturday night. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts and his takeaways from the Predators' end-of-season press conference last week. We'll also get his thoughts on the draft for the Titans coming up later this week as well. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.